Lord God, grant that we may all listen to you, hear you, and obey your word. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to focus this morning on the first Bible reading we had, the call of Jeremiah. You might like to turn back to it in the church Bibles on page 755. Jeremiah chapter 1. I think part of the attraction to me in preaching on the call of Jeremiah is that he was only a young man, like me, when he started. But he went on for about 40 years and had a lot of trouble along the way. But that call of God kept coming back to him. I'd like to read you just a few verses from Psalm 71, probably written by David, but I'm sure enthusiastically prayed or perhaps shouted by Jeremiah at times when he was having trouble. Verses from Psalm 71. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I've relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. And he goes on, do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Jeremiah had said to the Lord, chapter 1, verse 6, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. Jeremiah has come to be a sort of proverbial name for a prophet of doom and gloom, a bearer of bad tidings, a sort of Eeyore character of the Old Testament, always seeing the dark cloud in any silver lining, always saying, ah, the light at the end of the tunnel is probably an oncoming train. But it wasn't his fault that Israel failed to respond to God's warnings. Jeremiah was faithful to God's call on his life. Would we be, given the opposition that he faced? A little background history of Israel. Not boring, because it's his story, the story of God and his people. And if we are God's people through faith in Jesus, then it's our story too. I find three X's very helpful in order to get things in the Old Testament in roughly the right story. Exodus, exile, and expected Messiah. If you can slot what's happening in the Old Testament between any of those three X's, then you know roughly where you're going. Before the Exodus, a long time back, there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and his 12 sons, Joseph and the coat of many colours, Israel going down to Egypt, becoming slaves. That's all before the Exodus. And then about 1400 BC or so, Moses leads them out of Egypt. That's the Exodus. They cross the Red Sea and then receive the Ten Commandments, wander somewhat slowly through the wilderness, eventually entering the Promised Land, eventually taking control of it under Saul and David about 1000 BC. That's all after the Exodus. After David's son Solomon, things go fairly steeply downhill. Israel divides into two halves. There's idolatry, enemy attack, kings going from bad to even worse. The northern half of Israel is overrun by Assyria and ceased to exist in 722 BC. That's exile part one. The northern half goes into exile. Then a bit later, Babylon becomes the superpower in the region, subjugates the southern half of Israel, which then rebels against them, ignores prophets like Jeremiah, deserts the God who has finally had enough of them and deserts them. And then in the year 587 BC, Jerusalem is utterly destroyed. The Israelites are taken to Babylon. The temple is pulled down. That's exile part two. And that's all solid history, because the events, the dates in Jeremiah's life tie in with the official Babylonian records. You can't exaggerate too much the importance of the exile to God's people. The temple was burnt, the city destroyed. It seemed the nation the hope had ended. 587 BC is the low point of Israel's history. And yet, some of Jeremiah's prophets from just before then still hold out hope of a future return from the exile and of the coming of the expected Messiah. So you've got Exodus, exile, just around and after Jeremiah's time, and long in the future, the expected Messiah, Jesus. Jeremiah was called by God during the 40 years running up to the exile. His job was to try and call Israel back to God, but they wouldn't listen. He repeatedly warned about what would happen, but they took no notice. Well, actually, they did take some notice. They tried to shut him up, they beat him up and locked him up, but he was still faithful, speaking God's word. Nearly all of Jeremiah's warnings, until very near the end anyway, were what we might call conditional prophecies. God saying, if you continue to ignore me and worship other gods, then you will sadly be destroyed. The idea being that they'd listen and change their ways. Most biblical prophecy is in fact like that. Not so much foretelling. Not so much predicting what will certainly take place, but rather warning about what's likely to happen if you don't do something about it. In the same way that we might prophetically say, if you drive on the wrong side of the road, you'll get killed. The idea is, you don't. You change your ways. But sadly, God's people didn't heed Jeremiah's word. The Bible translation called The Message has a wonderful introduction to the book of Jeremiah that sets the context of just how hard his call and his ministry were. It says this: everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And Jeremiah was in the middle of it, sticking it out, praying and preaching, suffering and striving, writing and believing. He lived through crushing storms of hostility and furies of bitter doubt. Every muscle in his body was stretched to the limit by fatigue. Every thought in his mind was subjected to questioning. Every feeling in his heart was put through fires of ridicule. He experienced it all agonizingly and wrote it all magnificently. Do you want to hear God calling you like Jeremiah did? It's challenging. But Jeremiah simply told it like it was. Things were very bad. And if they didn't turn back to God, they would get even worse. And they did. What Israel needed wasn't some newfangled military alliance with Egypt or anyone else to fight off the Babylonians. No, their success wasn't in the political realm. No, what they needed was a return to their first allegiance, a new alliance with their God. Amongst the dire warnings of Jeremiah are beautiful promises of forgiveness. Chapter 31 contains some of the most sublime passages about a new heart, a new covenant, a new relationship with God living among them in the person of the expected Messiah, if only they would listen. But they didn't. But you can read chapter 31 and the later passages for yourself. Today, I'd like to concentrate on that passage we had at the beginning, chapter 1, Jeremiah's call and what the call of God might mean for us some 2,500 years later. The overall message of Jeremiah has not changed. It's that God cannot be ignored. Bringing that message to people who weren't disposed to hear it required courage, obedience, and faithfulness. And it still does today. We don't know very much at all about Jeremiah. He came from a priestly family at Anathoth in Benjamin, just a few miles from Jerusalem. Though by Jeremiah chapter 11, people from his hometown were apparently making death threats against him. He says he was only a child, probably not meaning literally that he was a teenager, but that he was too young to have yet become a priest or to be listened to by those who considered themselves old and wise. Jeremiah didn't want to be a prophet, but he was called by God. The introduction says it was in the 13th year of Josiah, the last good king's reign, when he received this. That would make it 627 BC. And his call went on for 40 years. Considering the opposition he went through, I'm sure that calling from God that we have recorded in chapter 1 must have been etched indelibly on his heart and mind in order to keep him going through what would come. His sense of God's calling him must have come back to him again and again to give him strength to face the opposition of 40 years of God's ministry. God's calling is the foundation of all that we do in our Christian lives. Take a secure hold on God's calling of you, whether it comes early, late, or middling. Hold on to that, whatever comes. God has called you, however long or short the ministry he may give you. Jeremiah, in his book, is very honest about his feelings of inadequacy, doubts, agonies, both physical and emotional, his arguments with God, his numerous attempts to resign his commission. His complaints against God aren't written down for us to copy, but so that we can learn from them. He wasn't perfect. He was a weak and flawed human being, like us. And yet, by God's grace, he somehow hung in there. He was no flash in the pan. He gave his life to listening to and to declaring the word of the Lord. Whether other people took any notice wasn't his problem. In fact, God had told him at the very beginning that they wouldn't. His job was to simply pass on the messages that God gave him. Was he successful? No. Did he achieve his goals? No. Did he bear fruit in his ministry? No. But despite all that happened to him, he did what God told him to. He was faithful. And that is what really matters. Jeremiah wasn't a superhero. He was weak, reluctant, and fearful. But he outlasted the 45 cities in which the kings of Israel had mistakenly put their trust. The book of Jeremiah is not triumphalistic. It's brutally realistic. God's ambassadors have no diplomatic immunity. Being a Christian is not a soft option, nor a guarantee of a quiet life. It never has been. Do you feel too young for what God is calling you to? Or perhaps too old? Or too inexperienced? Or just plain scared? God knows each one of us exactly as we are, and he calls us exactly as we are. Like Jeremiah, Moses and Isaiah before him had both made vain attempts to turn down God's call. On the other hand, in the New Testament, you get people like Peter and Paul who thought they already knew what it was all about and had to be shown their own weakness before they could know God's strength working through them. God's way is the way of the cross, the way of Jesus. Strength, his strength, through our weakness. Victory through sacrifice. Life, even through death. What's your calling? Let's listen again to a few of those words to Jeremiah. Chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord said to him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." It's about God's calling on our lives. God's plan from the very beginning was that all people should know his love and live his holy and righteous ways. Initially through Israel, called to be the light to the nations. When they fall short, God warns them, rebukes them, punishes them, but still works through them to bring in the expected Messiah. Jeremiah was called to speak God's loving words of warning to those who would largely ignore them. We are called to live and speak for God, despite our weakness, our youth, or our age, to trust that God knows what he's doing with us today. As with Jeremiah, Our success is not to be marked by human criteria of achievements, numbers, or money, but rather by faithfulness in obedience to our God-given commission. It is God who calls us. Jeremiah makes his excuses, and then verse 8, God says, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." God's rescuing. There may be things that frighten us to death. Jeremiah was promised that God would rescue him, and it seems he did so. Although it would be quite a wrong use of scripture to say that that means God will always protect all of us from every harm, because sadly Christians do die in God's service. Jesus warned his followers of that, and the New Testament tells us of many martyrs, and it continues today in many countries around our world. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we know that ultimate victory, ultimate rescue is assured. He has conquered death once and for all, so our resurrection is certain. God's calling and God's rescuing. And it's God's speaking. Verse 9, "The Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth.'" God's speaking. We're not all called to be public speakers or prophets to the nation, but if we allow him, God will live and speak through each one of us in the specific situations in which he's placed us. We all have a unique role to play, gifts to use, people to speak God's word to. We're not all called to tear down and overthrow like Jeremiah, but every Christian is a messenger for their master. Everyone who knows us will receive some impression of Jesus from us. Let's make sure it's a good one. Each one of us has been consecrated, set apart for God, handmade for a task of God's choosing. Don't try to copy Jeremiah or me or the person sitting next to you. God has a calling for you, to make you the person he wants you to be, to use you in the way he chooses. It may be that you know and are already doing just what God has called you, in which case, praise God, be encouraged, keep at it, stick at it. How do we as individuals know what God is calling us to? Well, any specific calling has to come within the overall context and be with consistent of the general call of God as recorded in the Bible. That's the background from which God speaks and acts. So we have to know God's general will and be following it in our lives before we can validly claim, "God told me to do so and so." So we read the Bible with a listening ear. We pray over it. We hear others speak about it. We listen together to God. Church isn't a random collection of individuals who happen to be in the same place at the same time to worship God, but rather God's people coming together to worship, to pray, to serve, and also to encourage and to challenge one another to follow God. Most Christians are not like Jeremiah in apparently going straight from personal call to national prophet. It's usually a more gradual thing. But if you in any sense call that God is wanting to make you a messenger of his good news, then don't expect to become the next Billy Graham overnight. Try it out closer to home. Share the love of Jesus with those around you, family, friends, work colleagues, neighbours. Jeremiah had the huge disadvantage of being virtually alone. Praise God for the church, the support and the encouragement and the challenge that we can offer one another. The New Testament principle is that every calling, everything that claims to be a prophetic message, has to be tested by two or three others in order to know that it truly is God's will. If God is wanting you to work for world peace, then that's great. But the first step might be to stop kicking your neighbour's cat. The key question to ask those who think they may be called to any sort of Christian ministry is not, how do you know that God has spoken to you, but rather, how do others in your church know that God has spoken to you? A call to Christian service, whether it's of the go to Africa type or the why don't you pray for your neighbour type often comes gradually and grows in strength and clarity as we try it out in small ways. Even a small step forward can be frightening at first, but we have to take that small step even if we're not quite sure where it might lead to. It's a true saying that it's a dangerous thing stepping out of your front door. Once you put your foot on the road, you never know where you might end up. The vital thing is to keep your focus on Jesus, the Master, and not on you, the servant. At the end of the chapter, verse 17, God says to Jeremiah, "Get yourself ready, stand up, and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you, and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Knowing that God says, "I am with you," is the most important part of any Christian call. I am with you. That's the same promise that Jesus made to his disciples. The same promise he makes to us here today and to Christians around the world who follow him despite persecution or poverty. What does it mean for God to rescue you? He said that to Jeremiah. But Jeremiah was ridiculed, put in the stocks, branded as a traitor, received sundry death threats, was thrown in a pit, and left to starve. "Lord, if this is what it means for you to be with me, maybe I'll just fend for myself," is an old Jewish joke, but it makes the point. Following Jesus can be a costly business, but it's the best business there is. But it's not to be taken lightly. Jeremiah is about God's calling. "I knew you. I chose you. I set you apart." It's about God's rescuing. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will rescue you." It's about God's speaking. "I have put my words in your mouth." We may sometimes be frightened, but we don't have to be frightened off. Be like Jeremiah. Do something of eternal significance. Be part of his story. Be faithful to God's call on your life, whatever happens. In a moment's silence, let's each in prayer lay our lives before God and say in the quietness of our own hearts, "Lord, here am I. You know me, young or old or middling. Lord, I want you to call me. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. And I want you to give me the strength and the courage and the perseverance to follow that calling, wherever it leads. Amen."